You will take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. We just sang Walking in the Steps of the Savior, so we're going to spend a few minutes looking at a sermon that Jesus preached that is designed to help us in all times, and I think can be especially helpful to us in the times in which we find ourselves now. When you read in verse 25, you're depending on the version you have, you may read the words, "Do not be anxious." You may read the words, "Do not worry." If you're reading the King James Version, it says, "Take no thought for." Now, we must remember that the King James Version was translated a long time ago. And when we think about taking thought of something, you can't help but thinking about the circumstances we're in. Jesus is not telling us to do the impossible, just completely ignore our surroundings and the difficulties that many people are facing and that we all experience to some degree because of this pandemic. So the later versions, instead of translating "take no thought," tried to capture the idea by translating either "do not worry" or "do not be anxious." It was interesting, and the fact that he's talking about that is clear in the text, by the way. You'll see in verse 25, he says, "Do not be anxious," or "do not worry." Verse 27, he said, "Which of you by being anxious or by worrying?" And then down in verse 28, "Why are you anxious or worrying?" Verse 31, "Do not be anxious." And then verse 34, he said, "Do not be anxious." So clearly his message has to do with this matter of worry or anxiety. I found it interesting. I went back and looked at our English word worry and its origin. It comes from the idea of grabbing by the throat and tearing. That's interesting, isn't it? And that's the kind of thought in mind. The idea of anxious is the idea derived from the idea of a stranglehold. And so it's the thinking about something so much so that it distracts us from those things that are really important in life and fills us with unnecessary worry and concern about things that are not as important. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this sermon. While the word worry or anxious doesn't occur until verse 25, he begins laying the foundation back in verse 19 to help us with this very concept of worry. Worrying results because oftentimes we fail to properly evaluate what's really important. And so in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, when he talks about laying up, or your version may say storing up, he's not talking about transferring funds. Don't put any funds in your savings account. He's talking about the time and the effort and the sacrifice and the thought that people put toward their earthly treasures. And by using the idiom of the "not but" construction, what he's saying is not that that's wrong, but it should not be the priority. It should not be that which we take thought about all the time. And we should not let that take a stranglehold upon our lives. Is that what it does? Look at verse 21. Verse 19 through 21 go together. So he said, "Don't make that the focus of your life, and here's why. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That is the thing. If that's your focus in life, you feel like your life is dependent upon these material treasures, it's going to bother you immensely. If they're endangered, if you lose them, if your stocks go down, if you don't have the income you once had, etc. And so Jesus says that should not be our focus because it's going to affect how we think, what's really important to us and where we spend our time and energy. Then in verse 22 and 23, the key phrase here is your eye. He talks about your eye being clear in verse 22 or your eye being bad in verse 23. What's he talking about? He's talking about the ability to clearly see what's valuable. Let's read it. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And so if I can have a proper view of the value of the kingdom of Christ, and that's what this whole sermon's about, and the treasures of that kingdom, I can properly evaluate things. It may bother me to lose my stocks or a job or income, but it's minute compared to the important things of life. And if I can clearly see that, it's going to change my whole attitude, my whole life. If I can't see that, if my eye is blind, these are the most important things. You know, going to church is fine and singing and praying and all that. But the important thing is having money and a bank account and a retirement. Then I'm clouded with blindness. And it's going to affect the way I am and whether or not I can have that peace and comfort of mind that comes in the absence of this anxiety and worry. Verse 24 and 25. These again go together as Jesus continues this discourse. He said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to the one and despise the other. And here's the key phrase in those two verses. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of riches. Now note the next phrase, for this reason. I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body as to what you shall put on. Stop right there. For this reason. Look. Why do people change jobs? They say, well, this job offers me more money. That's why I'm changing jobs. Why do you get up in the morning when you'd like to stay in bed and go to work? Because I need that money. You do the things that bring to you the things that you consider valuable. That's the key of the for this reason. If money's the valuable thing, it's going to become the God. We worship the God that provides the things that are valuable to us. I don't know if any of you watch Shark Tank, but you can see at least in some of those fellas, at least the way they talk, money's their God. That's the one thing they're concerned about. I'm thankful I'm not that way. Money will provide some things, yes, but money won't provide those heavenly treasures that he talks about. Those treasures that rise above this earth and have to do not only with the eternal values here, but when this life is done. And so he said, if you can see clearly what's important, you won't serve the wrong God. But if your view is the important thing is life and food and eating and clothes and your house and your car, you're going to serve the God that provides that which you think is important. Now then, when you get down to verse 26, he said, look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Started where I left off in verse 25, and you have the same idea. Is not life more than food, and the body than clothing? And then look at the birds. You notice he says, look. It's the idea of observation. And when our whole life is consumed with this world and the clothes we wear and the house we live in and the car we drive, we're short-sighted. He said, look at the birds. What do? God takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than they? And isn't there much more to your life than a bird? He just eats and lives and dies. Is that all our life is about? We're born into this world. We got to get some food. We got to grow up. We got to have some clothes to wear. We got to have a job. And then, boom, we're dead, just like an animal. Isn't there more to life than that? And if we can't see that, we're indeed short-sighted. Our eyes really, really bad. And so that's what Jesus is doing, is lifting our view to see things as they really are. Then as you continue in verse 27, here's another aspect that he helps us with this matter of anxiety and worrying. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life's span? Your version may say a single cubit to his height. Either way, whether you take it as your height or whether you take it another hour of life, worrying changes nothing for the good. It doesn't make you live longer. In fact, it may make you live shorter. It doesn't help your physical well-being if you're short to make you taller. Worrying can cripple you. And so he says, anxiety and worrying is absolutely futile. So why carry that load? And that's what Jesus is trying to see and how to deal with this thing that every one of us have to face from time to time. Then in verse 28 through 30, he said, why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. If God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you? Now, I'm reading on this testament I have in my hand, the New American Standard 77 edition. The 95 edition, I think, has added the word clothe, but they put it in italics. And many versions add the word clothe. I think they made a step backward when they did that. He's not saying, you know, look at the flowers of the field. You'll have more beautiful clothes than the tires of the field. Well, that's foolish. What he's saying is, you look at the flowers of the field. Solomon could never array himself like one of these. And let me tell you something. The God of heaven's going to give you something more valuable, more beautiful than all the flowers and trees and lakes and streams and mountains and everything you can possibly envision. And if somebody says, well, what is that? We're back to that, your eye is bad. If we can understand the heavenly treasures, we see that this world and the things that it offers are really nothing in comparison with what Christ has made possible. And so the last phrase in that section is this one. He says, O men of little faith. It's really a problem with faith. Faith in what? The treasures of the kingdom of the Messiah. This whole sermon, chapter 5, 6, and 7, is a sermon about his kingdom, his rule, his dominion. It was not what the Jews wanted or expected. And yet it offered them the greatest treasures. They wanted to be free from taxes. They wanted to reign like in the time of David and Solomon and have all the good things of life. Jesus didn't come to bring that. He came to bring the greatest blessing of all, freedom from the guilt of sin. We just took a memorial to our belief in that very thing. And that needs to control our thinking, the way that we look at life and the way that we place values on things. And if we really believe, there's the key, faith. If we really believe the gospel, if we really believe that Jesus came to rescue us from the greatest danger we could ever face and to provide us with the most wonderful hope we could ever have, all these other things, we hate to lose them. They're difficult, but they're nothing. Nothing in comparison. And so it's really a challenge to believe what we sing about and talk about and read about. And that's what Jesus is doing when he said, O you of little faith. Then in verse 31 through 33. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Gentiles. Now remember, Jesus is a Jew speaking to Jewish people. The Jewish people should have had a better concept than that. They had behind them the 1,500 years of the law, of God's wonderful care and provisions and promises. They had the oracles of God, Romans chapter 3, that is the Old Testament. They could see God's concern with sin and righteousness and man's redemption through all the sacrificial offerings that they had and the feast that they enjoyed. But they easily could adopt the world's view that what's really important is food, clothing, shelter. The things of life. He said that's what the world, that's what their time is spent on, that's what their thoughts are about, that's what their energies are about. So when we think about you and me, same is true. if that's what our whole concept of the good life is, and that's all we work for and think about, that when we lose it, that's what really bothers us, we're just like the world. We're worldly. We can go to church and sit on the pew and sing these songs. But in fact, we are worldly minded if those are really the things that we treasure and seek. He's talking about seeking, sacrifice for, think about, work for, talk about all the time. You know, as this pandemic is upon us and our news 24 hours a day is about the pandemic, maybe that's all we think about and talk about. And if it is, it may be a reflection of the fact that we need to think about ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror. What's really important? Here's a time we can spend treasuring the wonderful blessings that God has given us, thinking about heaven and prayer and Bible study and about our families and our blessings abundant. And so Jesus said, the world, that's their focus. But you're not the world. If you'll follow the Savior, note what he says in 33. Instead of that being your focus, seek first His kingdom. That is His rule, His dominion in your life. Am I the kind of person my Savior wants me to be? He died and shed His blood so I can be free of guilt. What can I do to honor Him? What can I do to show my faith in Him? What can I do to bow the knee in submission to Him? Seek first His rule in your heart and in your life, His kingdom and His righteousness. But I need to eat and I need to drink and I need clothes. He says, God will take care of that. All these things shall be added to you. How will He do it? I don't know. You know, you take a young child. We've got two young children here. They don't wake up in the morning and say, boy, I don't know where we're going to get food to eat. Man, what are we going to do for next week? You know what? They say, Dad, take care of that. Absolute trust in Dad's love and provision. That's exactly what it ought to be with us and our Heavenly Father. I don't know. But if He says to me, you put me first, I'll take care of your needs. I'm not saying you're going to drive a Cadillac and live in a 5,000 square foot house, but I'll take care of your needs. The question is back to, do we believe it? And if we have that clear vision, we can see that the treasures He provides are so much more valuable. And then finally, this section of His sermon, He concludes with this. Therefore, verse 34, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a great summation statement. Don't borrow trouble that you don't need to carry. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so anxiety can be burdensome, and we can just weigh ourselves down with things we don't need to. There's something that's called the Serenity Prayer. Not sure about its origins. You can go search it on the web. You've all heard it, but it's something like this. God, grant me the ability to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's a human phrase, that little poem, but it's so accurate. And so here Jesus says, don't bar trouble. Put your faith in God. Enthrone Christ in your heart. You'll be the richest person on earth. And all of the diseases and wars and pandemics and trouble of this life cannot rob you of those heavenly treasures. And it's encouraging to me to be with people today who consider those values more value than all the things of this life. And your presence here is an encouragement to me and to every other person that's present here today.